$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Hey.
Buenas noches, and Brian Higgins.
Ahoy, hoy.
Howdy do. How you doing today?
I am wonderful.
How's it going, Jets? I'm glad you're still here. You were able to make it to the movie cave. I mean, Rick, Brian and I were able to make it, although there were some torrential floods going on outside.
Yes.
We didn't have to break out the
fun day.
Kayaks or hovercrafts.
Oh, that would have been.
I did spend most of the day gathering two of each species.
Like. Oh, really? And then you just watched as you made them mate.
No, he was saving them.
Oh, okay, yeah, but isn't that the next
step? Well, the premise is that, but that doesn't
take out your popcorn.
You don't just sit there and watch them.
You play the music. You put some romantic.
That
could be like a romantic animal DJ.
Well, that makes
Kenny G was one of
very weird
two humans. I saved Kenny G as one of the two.
Oh yeah, and who did you pair him?
Who did you mate with? Kenny G and Kenny Loggins.
Kat Dennings.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Oh, so in the new world, we can make more episodes of Two Broke Girls.
Now it's One Broke Girl.
One Broke Girl. And with some nice smooth jazz.
And Kenny G just
song.
Sets the mood for the animals.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of animals.
Yes.
The reviews that we did this past week was a movie that featured the Chicago Cubs.
Can you edit in a cricket sound effect there?
No, I'm in charge of editing, and that will not take
You know what? We're going to have to update the movie cave to have, like, a soundboard. I need a soundboard.
Like an Arnold soundboard?
Yeah.
Get to the chopper now.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, we did Rookie of the Year from 1993. Again, we had mentioned it was the 25th anniversary of the movie. That's what kind of inspired us to take another look at this movie. So, did you have any kind of follow-up thoughts to the movie whatsoever?
No real follow-up thoughts. Yeah. I had mentioned prior to the mini, I was like, everyone should watch it.
Yeah.
Just go watch it. Stars. I think it's on Stars.
Rick, one thing you did mention up during the full reviews that you had inquired if a lot of the actors around that time might have kind of been friendly. You were like, oh, I wonder if like Daniel Stern and John Candy were friends and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I didn't come up with this at the time, but I was like, well, they were in Home Alone together. So
yes.
They like working with each other.
Well, but no, like this movie, they never were in the same scene together.
And same with Home Alone.
Right.
Like they're in multiple movies together that they don't actually act against one another.
Yeah. So it's like one could be in a sound booth?
A sound booth. Well, John Candy could have been.
Yeah,
he was the announcer.
Kind of.
And Brian, did you kind of have any follow-up? I mean, this was clearly the movie. You had watched this many more times.
Yeah, I've watched this all the time.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But did anything particularly new come out of this viewing that you had not? Maybe the that Henry turns it to the 35-year-old man when he
I had
on
never
the
noticed that.
No, that was new on me too. Yeah. I was like, no, we had to rewatch that.
Some fun facts about Rookie of the Year.
I like fun facts.
I know you do, and you also like fun fatty.
I like fun dip.
Oh. As we mentioned during the full reviews, this is the only film that Daniel Stern ever directed. Now, again, he had done some TV stuff, but
yeah.
This was his only feature film.
And it just seems like so many other films in the era.
Yeah.
It's like it almost wasn't his own. You know what I mean? It was like everything was kind of similar. So, like, it didn't stand out like, oh, he's, you know, Michael Bay and he wants to just destroy everything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, he's not an auteur.
No.
Yeah, exactly. We had mentioned the coach Sal Martinella's kind of various ways of messing up Henry Rohengartner's name.
Yeah.
And here's the list of them. He calls him Ruling Furter, Garden Hoser, Ravi Boozer, Rosenbagger, Runamucker, Rohengartner. That's pretty close. And Ruhlengruder.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah.
There you go.
I mean, all of them are close.
Yeah, not too bad.
Rohengartner is his name.
That was just him saying the actual
name. That was
thing.
Him saying yeah, okay. The actual name.
I thought those were all the wrong ones, but that he did get one right in there. One scene that we kind of pointed out is when Henry first goes to Wrigley Field as a pitcher, he goes to the player's entrance. When he knocks on the door to be let in, an old man pokes his head through a hole
Wizard
in the
of
door.
Wizard of Wrigley.
At first, he doesn't let Henry in. Then Henry reveals who he is, and the old man says, well, that's a horse of a different color. which is the same thing that was said in The Wizard of Oz from 1939.
Yes.
That movie was from 1939. This movie was from 1993.
Oh.
I wonder if that was deliberate.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Daniel Stern was planning it for so many years.
Director Daniel Stern co-starred with John Candy in Home Alone from 1990, like we said.
Yep.
And with Eddie Bracken in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, 1992. Though he never appeared on screen with them in either movie.
Yeah.
The three of them starred in Rookie of the Year and, again, do not appear on screen together. So like we were saying,
yeah.
So he likes working with these people. He's fans of these fellow actors, but he knows what part they play and he doesn't necessarily have to be like, I need to be in the scene with them. I'd like to see Brigma show up in a Home Alone movie. That could be interesting. Whoa. The scene featuring live shots of the crowd at Wrigley Field chanting, "We want Henry! We want Henry!" was filmed in September of 1992 between games during a doubleheader between the Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals. The film's producers described the scene and instructed the crowd on what to chant over the stadium's PA system. While the majority of the fans did participate, a large number of Cardinals fans in the crowd went off script and started chanting, "We want Ozzy! We want Ozzy!" referring to Cardinals shortstop Ozzy Smith. It took multiple takes for the entire crowd to participate in the correct chant, and the Ozzy chants are not audible in the film.
Huh. That's
so like,
funny.
We're not going to cheer for your fictional pitcher, kid. We want Ozzy Smith.
They're probably like saying it to like their friends, like, "Oh, I was there that day at the game."
Do you think anyone who was there at that game was then at Game 4 of the 2004 World Series when Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore took the field to celebrate the Red Sox victory, and they were filmed for
just like baseball stadium
for Fever
extras?
Pitch.
It's just
it happens to be these Cardinal fans are always at the games,
and that would
when
be
they're
hilarious.
Filming
just sit
no,
there
but
and
I mean,
hot
like,
dogs
just imagine
you just happen to be. No, like, different games.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that you went to the Cardinals Cubs game when they filmed Rookie of the Year.
And then you were
like, over a decade later, you're like, "Oh man, the Cardinals are gonna win the World Series, even though they're behind 3-0. Let's go to game 4." And then Jimmy Fallon takes the field.
So they're the curse breakers, you're saying.
Sure.
Gary Busey's character Chet Stedman was nicknamed Rocket. The character is based on popular Major League Baseball player Roger Clemens, whose nickname was also Rocket, like we guessed.
Oh,
we thought that's
not
what it was.
Rocket Raccoon.
Not Rocket Raccoon, no.
Or Rocket Ismail.
Or Rocket Pops. Yeah. See,
we all Rocketeer.
Just had some ice cream here.
Or the Rocketeer.
Movie
we'll
cave.
Let Brian get his.
There you go.
His
a plug-in for the Rocketeer. Gary Busey was clean-shaven during the production, and the mustache he has seen is a fake.
Oh.
Really? Why give his character a mustache?
I think it works well with him.
I think it does, too.
It works well, but if he doesn't have one, why give him a fake one?
Yeah, I don't know.
It probably also made him look even older.
The movie is based out of Chicago, Illinois. Amy Morton, who plays Henry's mom, Mary, also plays a Chicago police officer on Chicago PD as Sergeant Trudy Platt. I think this is going to be a good thing to lead us into our next section here. Director Daniel Stern worked with Joe Pesci in Home Alone, 1990, and in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, 1992. John Candy, Stern, and Pesci all appeared in the original Home Alone, while Eddie Bracken, Stern, and Pesci all appeared in the sequel. Candy and Pesci appeared in JFK, 1991, but not in any scenes together in that film either. Gary Busey appeared in Lethal Weapon, 1987, and Pesci appeared in all three sequels to that film. So there's some kind of loose connections there.
Yeah, weird loose connections.
Between all those characters. So moving on. So yeah, I like those loose connections. I thought it would be time that we should do a little connection, degrees of separation between the last reviews that we did, Hudson Hawk, and the current reviews at Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
So did you guys have a chance to look into this at all? I came up with a two-step.
I wanted
a direct connection, but I couldn't figure one out in my head. But I'll tell you my two-step unless anyone else has one.
Oh, is it a dance?
Two steps forward. Yeah, me and DJ Cat Scratch are going to. Is that his name? Cartoon Cat? Anyways.
I thought you were going to say DJ Tanner.
Bruce Willis, who is the star of Hudson Hawk, was in the movie The Bonfire of the Vanities with Tom Hanks.
Oh, God, that links
then
him to...
Tom Hanks was in both Splash and Volunteers with John Candy.
Oh, yeah, there's got to be a Bruce Willis-John Candy thing.
There isn't, because I think, like, when Bruce Willis
What about
really...
Danny Aiello?
DNA, yeah, I don't know.
What about, what's his name?
Caruso?
No, the leader of the...
Oh, James Coburn?
James Coburn.
Well, he was an older era actor, though.
He was in a lot of stuff, though. Yeah.
He was in, like, Payback with Mel Gibson.
Wasn't he? Yeah, and he was also in the other thing with Mel Gibson. Oh, no, that was James Maverick. Who is
no,
it?
No, that's James Gardner.
James Gardner.
James Coburn is in that.
He is.
He's one of the poker players during
right.
the... Oh, okay.
Who's in Maverick?
Jodie Foster.
I'm trying to make a link here.
James Gardner. Alfred Molina. He's in that.
Oh, gosh, really?
Yeah. But you got to link it to someone at Hudson Hawk, though. That's
well,
James Coburn.
Both Bruce Willis and Gary Busey played Bruce Willis and Gary Busey in The Player.
Oh, okay. There you go. That works. See, I knew there had to be something. I was thinking if there was a Bruce Willis, Gary Busey movie. I've never seen The Player, but all right. Well, there you go. Direct connection.
Yeah. Wow.
But while we're on the subject, just because I knew this would make Rick happy,
yay!
I had to do a connection with his favorite actress from Hudson Hawk, Sandra Bernhardt.
Oh, boo.
Sandra Bernhardt was in The King of Comedy with Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro was in Goodfellas and Casino with Joe Pesci. And then Joe Pesci to either Daniel Stern in Home Alone 1 and 2 or John Candy in just the first Home Alone. So there you go.
Wasn't Danny Aiello in one of those other movies, though?
There's plenty of other movies he's been. All right, gentlemen, I believe this is usually a time we would jump into a King of the Thing. As of recently, our past few reviews, we have neglected to stack rank any of our movies.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
Before we forget to do that.
Let's do it.
We have three off the top of our head here that we need to place. Let's stack rank our last three movie reviews. We'll go back to the order in which we watched
them. It's like
them.
3 months ago.
Yeah, probably a while back, and it was Karate Kid.
Karate Kid.
Because we were all feeling really good about this one. So like,
I'm going to say start at 18.
Gremlins.
Oh.
I think it's better than Gremlins.
I would agree. I put it above Gremlins.
Yeah, so it's 17.
Then going up, Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Oh. I kind of like those being together.
Yeah. I like those being together, too, so you want to keep going
yeah,
up?
Keep going up.
Independence Day. I think I like this better than Independence Day.
I don't know. Now you're getting into it. I kind of like Independence Day. Well, all right. What's above it?
Lethal Weapon.
No, it doesn't be.
You don't think it's better than Lethal Weapon?
Not for me.
I think it's better than Lethal Weapon.
What's the next
one? I'd go with Karate Kid. And then next we have Trading Places, which are very totally different
movies. It's better than Trading Places.
Yeah, I would probably watch Karate Kid again before.
I would rather watch Lethal Weapon over.
And then let's go up. Batman Returns.
Oh.
I'd be comfortable putting it under Batman Returns above.
Yeah, I don't think it's better than Batman Returns.
That's fine.
Okay.
So what is that?
Currently number 14 could change.
Okay.
I'm sure we're not going to pick above this. For the next one, Hudson Hawk.
Let's start at 30.
30. Very optimistic there.
It's because
Face Off.
It's Sandra
Gotta go down.
Bernhardt.
Gotta go down.
Yeah, all right. Keep going.
Go to 40.
Go to 40.
The Dark Crystal. I gotta go down. I say go down.
Go to 50.
50. Blank Check.
Blank Check is very good.
Okay, we go down.
What?
I haven't seen Hudson Hawk, though, so.
Oh, that's true. You haven't seen
Hudson
Hawk.
It's me and you ranking this. All right, start at 40 and go down. What's 41?
Okay.
Start at 45.
Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, I'd rather watch Hudson Hawk.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Hudson Hawk kind of held up. They were flip-flop to me.
Here's the thing.
Flight of the Navigator was, like, a little worse than I remembered.
Yeah,
a
little?
Hawk was better.
A little worse? I'm going to go with a lot. All right, go on.
So you want me to go up or down?
Yeah, up. Go up.
Spawn.
I'd rather watch Spawn than Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it could be smack dab in the middle.
So I would say Hudson Hawk's the new 45.
Yeah.
All right. Hudson Hawk's the new 40. Wow, that's pretty high.
For a moment.
Yeah, for a moment. The next one's going to go way above it, too. So, Rookie of the Year. Now, my thought is to think of the other kids' baseball movie on the list just to start with, which is Sandlot.
Okay. Yeah.
Sandlot's
what number is
at
it?
Number four.
Oh, God. It's not. Anywhere
I don't think it's that high.
No.
I don't think it's that high.
Of the kids' baseball quadrilogy.
Yes.
With Rookie of the Year, Sandlot, Little Big League, and Angels in the Outfield.
Sandlot is by far the best one.
Sandlot's my number three.
That's my favorite one. That is my favorite one of the four.
I would say for me it goes Sandlot, Rookie of the Year.
I haven't seen Little Big League in a while, so I don't know where to put that.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Little Big League's my four. I have Angels in the Outfield, Rookie of the Year.
I would say Sandlot.
My number one.
I would say Sandlot. You know what, though? You're right. Rookie of the Year and Angels in the Outfield are kind of similar. Like,
yeah.
I like them both pretty much
so that's
the
like
same.
A tied for second for me.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Little Big League is, I don't even think I've seen it in
the
wish
fulfillment
30
of
years,
managing a baseball
years.
Team is yeah. not quite as
yeah,
strong.
Yeah, like, okay, cool. I'm a manager. Oh,
all right,
okay.
But anyways, I feel like we need to jump down a bit. That's my opinion. So, hey, let's throw it out there since we just did it. Let's compare it against Karate Kid at number 14.
I think it's better than Karate Kid.
I would agree.
Okay. So we're going Go next, up. And then we have Batman Returns.
Oh, see, I feel it's like, totally
I
different,
would,
but
I
it's,
think I'd put it ahead of Batman Returns. It,
yeah.
You know I'd what? Be I, tough to do that, but if
I,
you guys want to do that.
I think
that,
it does go up. The only reason why is, for the most part, I think I would rather rewatch this, like a comedy-ish thing, versus rewatching a lot of action stuff.
Okay.
Because once you've seen the action, you're like, yay.
All right, how about, now this is going to be tough, John Candy versus John Candy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No.
I'm not sure I can put it above
I don't
that.
Go above Planes, Trains.
Yeah.
No.
All right, so we'll put it above Batman Returns?
Yeah.
Right. So now we have three John Candys in a row with
That's
Spaceballs,
true.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and the uncredited Rookie of the Year.
11, 12, 13.
You know what?
That's funny how that works out.
Just wait till we get to Uncle Buck.
He's still my,
That's
he's
true.
Still my number one.
That was playing on AMC the other day.
Oh.
That's your number one what?
Spaceballs.
Well, no, it's our number 11.
It's two number ones for me.
Whatever helps you sleep at night, big boy. All right, so we've stack ranked. We have not forgot this week. And now we can move on to new business.
Oh, is this a new segment?
Yeah. Oh, what is this segment?
No, this is just like we're having like our Robert's Rules of Order meeting here.
Yeah,
so
what's your new business, Mark?
We
didn't talk.
Mexico was delicious.
we didn't talk about this prior to the.
I'm always the intrigued by new segments.
Well, we're going with an oldie here. We're going to King of the Thing.
That's not an oldie.
It's a new oldie. It's a noldie.
It's like how REM shows up on the oldies stations.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So speaking of music,
King of the Thing, King of the Thing, King of the Thing.
Hello, King.
So Brian, you got something good for us this week?
I got something pretty good All for right. us.
I can't,
you know,
I can't wait.
The whole idea of this movie was that Henry Rowan Gartner was the Rookie of the Year, that he was a pitcher.
Yes.
Although we don't see him win the Rookie of the Year award, I
he
think
doesn't.
We have to assume
just
because
of
he
his
does.
Age, he was the rookiest of all of them.
Yes. So for this one, I decided that we would look at some pitchers.
Oh.
From baseball movies.
I love
nice.
That.
I like that.
We have 16, which means some movies are represented twice because
okay.
a lot of baseball movies won't center around their pitchers.
And some movies like Rookie of the Year, you have two pitchers.
Just
and
two
that's
pitchers.
That's it.
You've got Chet the Rocket Steadman.
Well, the more I thought about it, the more it seemed like as I was looking up different movies, a lot of movies just have two pitchers.
That's
so
true.
They can be like, here's our starting
starter,
pitcher,
here's our closer.
Here's our reliever.
Yeah.
That's it. We have 16 pitchers to choose from,
okay.
and we are going to start, of course, with our number one seed. There could only be one number one seed, and it is the Wild Thing,
Rick
Vaughn.
Wild Vaughn.
Charlie Sheen from Major League.
Oh, okay, yep.
And he is up against Ryan Dunn.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Freddie Prinze Jr. from Summer Catch.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's an easy win.
So you're saying you want the upset?
No. We're putting the Wild Thing through.
Wasn't that Summer Catch like a Massachusetts based?
It was the Cape League.
Yeah,
he played for the Chatham
A's. The hometown.
Yeah, it's a hometown.
No, we're going with Rick Wild Thing Vaughn. He's the loose cannon. He throws the wild ball. He's got the earring. He just got out of jail.
The earring sold, Mark.
That's the key.
That's it. Okay, I vote for the earring.
All right. So next we have a little real life baseball influence coming through from the movies because we have Jim Morris as played by Dennis Quaid in The Rookie.
Oh, yeah. I like that movie.
Versus Eddie Seacott as played by David Strathairn in Eight Men Out.
Oh.
He was the knuckleballer.
I don't think I've ever seen Eight Men Out. So.
But you know
so
the
good.
Story of the Black Sox.
Oh,
right?
No. Yeah. I understand the story, but like I never saw the
Both
movie.
Both true stories, like you
yes.
said. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to go. I really like that movie, The Rookie, and that guy, he just worked so hard, and
he
really
was the,
deserved
he
his...
He was the teacher
he was
that...
the teacher, and he was, like, way past his prime,
and
he got
throwing
to play
baseballs
for the majors.
At the speed traps.
Yep. And his kid, Angus T. Jones from Two and a Half Men. Again, we brought up Charlie Sheen. Angus T. Jones is his kid. Strathairn, he was involved in throwing that game. So I don't like the dirtiness of cheating at baseball. So I'm going with the rookie there.
All right.
Rick defers. So next, we are heading to Angels in the outfield. As we have our number four seed, Tony Danza, as Mel Clark.
Angelo.
And he is up against Neil McDonough as Whit Bass, also in Angels in the Outfield.
Well, I don't remember the second guy.
I don't remember him at all.
He was the one that when they were singing the national anthem, he thought that Jose, can you see?
Oh,
it was about a guy named Jose.
I remember that joke. I honestly don't think I've seen that movie in probably 15 to 20 years.
Wow.
So I'm going to have to go with Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Just because it's Tony Danza. He doesn't even have to be playing a baseball player.
No, he could.
He's Tony Danza.
He could take down Rick Wild Thing Vaughn.
Yeah.
Good choice. All right, next we have the 5 seed versus the 12 seed. We have Kit Keller, Lori Petty from A League of Their Own.
Oh, yep.
Versus Eddie Harris, as played by Chelsea Ross in Major League.
Was that the guy who...
The old guy.
The old guy, and he
was also a pitcher.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Oh.
Eddie Harris, yeah.
I'll have to go with Lori Petty, because I didn't really like him.
Are you going with who?
I'm going to have to go with Lori Petty.
Oh, yeah, I have to go with...
I didn't really like
him as a
thing.
She's probably a more iconic pitcher.
Yeah.
I didn't remember she was a pitcher. That's weird.
Yeah, she was
okay.
the pitcher.
All right,
oh,
yeah.
Good
and Gina Davis was the catcher.
She was the catcher, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the underwear snitcher.
Oh, well, that was actually a good transition. Because up next, we have our number 2 seed, Ebby Calvin Nuke LaLouche, played by Tim Robbins in Bull Durham, where he's wearing a garter belt and jock strap. It's me, the underwear snitcher. I'm here. And he is up against the number 15 seed, Billy Chappell.
Oh, that's Kevin Costner.
In For Love of the Game.
For Love of the Game. I'm going to go with Tim Robbins and Bull Durham. For Love of the Game movie is just Kevin Costner standing on the mound, just like thinking for a long time.
I don't remember.
Are you sure you saw the movie and not just the poster?
No, I did see the movie. It's basically the same. If you stared at the poster for an hour and a half and have John C. Reilly as the catcher maybe come up once to talk to him, that's the movie.
I don't remember that movie.
Yeah.
All right, so
Nuke LaLouche.
Guessing Nuke LaLouche is going on.
Yes, you got it.
Yeah, Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins. He's very inspirational. Inspiration's in the outfield.
Yes. Oh.
All right, so now we have our 7 seed, Steve Nebraska.
Oh, Steve Nebraska.
As portrayed by Brendan Fraser in The Scout.
Yes.
Who, if you haven't seen The Scout, pitches an 81-pitch perfect game in the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
27 strikeouts.
With Albert Brooks.
Yes.
I remember that movie.
And he's
up
against...
I don't remember that at all.
You never saw?
I don't think so.
The Scout? Wow.
No, I don't think so.
He's up against Kenny DeNunez.
Oh.
Brandon Quinton Adams in The Sandlot.
He throws the heater.
I'm going to have to go with Sandlot.
And the Eliminator and the Terminator.
Because I've never seen The Scout, so I don't know.
All right. I'm going with The Sandlot as well. Brandon Adams, who when I auditioned for commercials as a kid, was through a management group that managed him.
Oh.
So there'd be posters of him dressed up. Because I think he like appeared in some Michael Jackson videos with him. Like dancing, like he was dressed like him with the leather jacket, and he danced with them. And so there'd be posters of him dressed as like a little Michael Jackson, like up on the wall when I went to audition for a milk commercial.
He was also in Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
All right. So now we have our number 3 seed, Henry Rowengartner.
Ah.
Thomas Ian Nicholas in Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Versus Jim Bowers, played by the single guy, Jonathan Silverman, Little Big League.
Yeah, and he was kind of like the weirdo character. He was almost like the Brigmuff for that movie. But yeah, I mean, we got to go with Henry.
Henry's
our guy,
even though he
loses his ability.
Oh.
Well, maybe now 30 years later.
Maybe he'll work on his arm and become a real pitcher.
What is it, 25 years later? No, maybe he is the retired all-star pitcher.
He's going to be the rookie. They'll do the rookie, like that same plot.
Maybe he went into teaching.
Yeah.
And he became Dennis Quaid.
He just cut off
words
of the movie.
Too many things. Yeah. And then he's going to die in 6 months like Mel.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
All right. And our final round one matchup, we have The Rocket, Chet Stedman.
The big stinky cheddar.
As played by Gary Busey. And he's up against Amanda Wurlitzer, Tatum O'Neill, The Bad News Bears.
Oh, yeah. Bad News Bears. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Chet because I was so surprised that this was Gary Busey.
No, yeah, I thought it was a great part too. So I gotta go with Chet Stedman.
Yeah.
No, that's not an upset, but almost an upset.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So now we are going to round two, and we have Rick Vaughn versus Jim Morris. So again, that is Wild Thing from Major League versus The Rookie.
Ah, I mean, I grew up watching those Major League movies, so I feel like I gotta lean towards Rick Vaughn.
I'm gonna go with Rick Vaughn.
We're going with the Wild Thing.
He's
got better entrance music too. So.
All right, there we go.
Wild Thing.
All right.
Awful.
And next we have Mel Clark, Tony Danza, Angels in the Outfield versus Kit Keller, Lori Petty, A League of Their Own.
Oh, I'll have to go with Lori Petty.
I'm going with Lori Petty as well.
That's an upset.
Yeah.
You know why?
Not that I don't like, I mean, I love Angels in the Outfield. Like, Tony Danza, he was a good actor, but he was always a TV actor,
Oh, you're basing it on Tony Danza?
Yeah.
I was just thinking in my head, which character
would you have
a little more integral to the plot of the movie? Like, definitely Tony Danza's Mel was, but there was, like, a whole array of characters that they kind of bounced between, Lori Petty and Gina Davis were kind of the crutch of League of Their Own.
Yeah,
pretty
and Tom
much.
Hanks.
So that's what I'm going with. And Tom Hanks, yeah.
No sympathy for Mel Clark.
Nope.
Who's going to
sympathy
die in
for
six
the
months.
Devil.
Yep. No sympathy, despite the fact that the movie, at the beginning, the kid's like, hey, you used to be Mel Clark. Yeah, used to be.
All right,
Kit Keller advances.
Mona.
Now next we have Nuke LaLoosh, Tim Robbins, Bull Durham, versus Kenny Nunez.
I'm going Kenny Nunez.
Because you saw his Michael Jackson
Because
pictures.
We were almost represented
Kenny
by
Den
the
Nunes.
Same
yeah,
management
okay.
company. No,
yep.
No, because Sandlot. Sandlot is a movie I've seen many times, and I, you know, sad to admit, I have not seen Bull Durham all the way. I've only seen parts of it.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
Kenny DeNunes advances. And then finally, we have our Rookie of the Year bracket.
Oh, no.
Henry Rowan Gardner versus Chet Rocket Stedman.
You know what? I'm going with Chet Stedman.
Oh.
He's a natural talent. He's an actual baseball player, and he played how many years, pushed his arm to the brink, and Henry did too, but it was just half a season by a freak accident. I'm going to go with Chet.
Say what's in your heart, Rick.
I won't be upset if you go with the popular vote.
Oh, the popular vote, you say.
Mark's trying to go for the Electoral College.
I'm going to have to go with Chet.
Hey.
Oh, that is an
that
upset.
That is a big upset.
That is the 11 seed or the 6 seed overtaking the 3 seed.
Wow.
Not a huge upset, but still a minor upset. All right, so that brings us to Rick Vaughn, Charlie Sheen versus Kit Keller, Lori Petty.
I'm going with Rick Vaughn.
Yeah, all right. It's not like I could go either way. If you said Lori Petty, I probably would have been like, yeah, all right.
Well, she probably has two earrings.
Oh.
And a short skirt.
No.
So Rick Vaughn.
Rick Vaughn. Wow thing.
And then we have Kenny DeNunes versus
Every time
Chet
you say
Stedman.
It, I'm like, Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins.
Kenny G. Any other Kenny. Kenny from South Park.
I'm gonna go with the Rocket. I'm gonna go with the high stinky Limburger.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, I like Kenny DeNunes, but he's not a great Hambino or
and to be fair,
Michael Squints Polidorus or Benny the Jet Rodriguez. I mean, he was one of the not as
the entire plot of The Sandlot hinges on him giving up a home run.
Oh, that's true.
I'm gonna have to. You know what though? Here's the problem I have. I don't think Rick Vaughn should win the whole thing.
and I don't know if DeNunes has
exactly.
the stuff against
I don't think
him.
He, I don't think he does. So I'm going to agree with you to go to Chet.
Okay.
We're not on Lori Petty again, right?
No,
we're down Chet to Chet Stedman versus Rick Vaughn.
I'm going
to
go with Chet.
Let's do it. Let's do the upset, Rick. We're going with the Rocket
Chet.
Over the Wild Thing.
Wow. Wow, Chet Stedman, yeah. Gary Busey, you are the king of the thing.
King of the thing.
Well, again, Gary Busey, greatest acting credit of his
See, and that's
career.
Why it was weird that I had to, like, pull it out of you, because you loved it so much.
I did. That was the biggest surprise of this movie, besides Henry turning into a 35-year-old man.
Yes.
It was Gary Busey's acting.
Yes.
It was like, wait, this isn't the same guy. He should be on meth or something right now.
This one's for you, Chet Rocket Stedman. Take me out to the Busey. Take me out to the Gary. Okay. Let's move on.
Yes, lad.
New business.
New business. Well, old business. I think we just have enough time for a little bit of... oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
Now, we did, during the full reviews it, bring up a couple actors that we really wanted to see where they went. But before I kind of mentioned the ones that we noted, I was thinking of a few other ones I was interested in, and immediately Henry's two friends came up, and I think we need to start with, oh, hi, Clark, just so you can all see his current picture.
He has a pretty dashing headshot.
Yeah,
hold on. All right, I got to bring it up.
You got to bring up Clark. What's his name, Brian?
His name is Robert High Gorman, or Rob Gorman,
as it says
at the bottom right-hand corner of his headshot.
Okay.
Check that out, Rick.
Hi, yeah. Clark.
So, yeah, he had a string of back-to-back mid-90s movies with Forever Young and this and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, but what happened to him? Because he's obviously got an updated headshot that makes him look all snazzy, but...
Well, in the midst of that run, he was also on two episodes of Empty Nest.
Oh!
And one episode of Drexel's Class.
Oh, I remember that show with Dabney Coleman.
He was also in Leprechaun.
The first one?
Yep.
Oh, with Jennifer Aniston.
And Mr. Nanny.
Oh! Did you remember him in that?
I didn't remember him off the top of my head, yeah.
Yeah.
He was on one episode of Full House as Kenneth.
I could see that, yeah.
He was on one episode of Boy Meets World in 98.
Okay.
As David.
So he's doing a lot of those kid sitcom
things. Then from 98 to 2005, he did nothing. 2005, he returned as an ER nurse in one episode of Surface on NBC.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He was in Leatherheads. Rick is pointing out that he was also in Charlie's Ghost Story.
With Cheech Marin. I've seen that movie.
I have too, and
I
don't
think
know why.
He plays the bully. Bully
he plays
in that movie.
Tuggle.
Okay, maybe he was a friend. You can't be a bully with a name like Tuggle.
Hi, Tuggle.
We'll have to find that movie. It was
I didn't. Oh my God.
Charlie's Ghost and the
Princess Vespa's in that.
Oh, Daphne Zuniga
and Linda
Fiorentino
from
Anthony Edwards,
Charles Rocket, our old pal from Hocus Pocus,
Charles Rocket Stedman,
Trenton Knight plays Charlie,
and he's also in a movie called Munchie, which is about this weird creature thing that helps give him confidence and eats pizza. It has a leather jacket.
Do you know Tuggle?
Munchie Strikes Back?
That's the sequel.
Charlie's Ghost was directed by Anthony Edwards.
Really?
Yeah.
J.T. Walsh is in it.
This could be our next reviews.
I didn't realize so many good actors in it because I feel like it was a bad movie.
I feel like we're going to need to do a spin-off podcast that it's not movies that we necessarily remember, but movies that we discover that we need to see for ourselves.
That's true.
That's a good one. Charlie's Ghost
Charlie's
Story.
Charlie's Ghost Story.
Number one on that list.
So Rob Gorman was also in Leatherheads as Speakeasy Soldier.
Oh, that's a pretty recent movie. Okay. With Clooney.
That was in 2008. He was also on one episode of One Tree Hill.
Okay, yeah.
He played an assistant on one episode of Drop Dead Diva. And he was also in something called All for Liberty in 2009 as John Felder.
All right. That's okay. Hi, Clark. Well, we're on the subject of Henry's friends. Let's look up his buddy George there.
Also known as Roger.
Also Roger. Roger.
That is Patrick Labreck. We might have covered him in the past because he was in Heavyweights.
Yeah, who was he in Heavyweights?
He was Dawson. He was one of the older counselors from the Fat Camp days.
Yeah.
So he's one of the ones that gives them food and everything.
Yeah, maybe we did.
He hasn't done much lately. His last credit is Lawnmower Man 2 Beyond Cyberspace in 96.
Oh, okay.
He was also in Camp Nowhere.
Okay, maybe
so
that's...
Grocery Checker.
Oh, okay.
Shimmer in 1993, Rookie of the Year. Before that, he was also a bully in Beethoven.
Because I was going to say, there's another big thing that I remember him from. And
he was in one episode of Drexel's Class.
Well, they're all in Drexel's Class.
Popular show for this.
Yeah.
Wow. You might remember him from 1991's All I Want for Christmas as Marshall.
The young Thora Birch and Ethan Embry, who was Ethan Randall back then.
Yes. And Kevin Nealon.
And Kevin Nealon, yeah.
Really?
I'm sorry, Kevin Nealon.
And he was on one episode of Erie, Indiana.
That's what I remember him from. I used to watch that show all the time.
I don't remember that show.
Erie, Indiana?
No.
You know, I have
Erie, Indiana.
I believe I have the whole season on DVD. The whole series.
Oh, all right.
All right.
I remember Gary, Indiana.
While we're keeping it in the vein of the Henry's classmates, his crush there, Becky? Julie the Cat Gaffney?
Yep. So that's Colombe Jacobson Dursine, or Colombe. I don't know how it's pronounced.
Colombe.
She has been a little more active than some of the others, but not a lot of credits. So Rookie of the Year, first credit on there.
Wow, that was her first acting role?
She looked pretty young.
Then
yeah.
Followed
it looked
by,
like she had done that for years.
Whoa.
Then that was followed by her two turns in the Mighty Ducks series, D2 and D3.
So you think she just did it for years because the scene where she trips in the lunchroom, she turns into a 36-year-old woman stunt person.
Oh.
Yes, exactly.
In 2002, she was in Men in Black 2 as Haley.
She was?
Apparently.
Huh. I don't know who Haley is.
She was also in Moonlight Mile.
Don't know that.
Never saw that movie.
2003,
like...
she was in Searching for Haseman. 2007, she was Nadia in Descent with Rosario Dawson.
I don't know.
Descent. Oh, I'm thinking of The Descent when they go in like the cave and there's the monsters. That's like a horror movie. I'm not familiar with just
No, this is not that.
Descent.
In 2007, she was in The Living Wake as prostitute.
Oh.
And then in 2014, she was uncredited as Lisa in the film Chef with Jean Favreau.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Jean Favreau. Jean Favreau.
Jean Favreau.
Robert Downey Jr. and Dustin Hoffman, Scarlett Johansson, and Colombe Jacobson Durstine.
Wait, Robert Downey Jr. was in that movie?
Wait a second.
I don't remember.
Scarlett Johansson?
What is yeah, this? She's in
is
that
it,
movie.
This
yeah.
is a Marvel movie?
No. Yeah, it's got. It's
but
got
Robert Downey Jr. plays Marvin.
Oh.
It's got all the actors
that
from
Jon Favreau
Iron
directed.
Man 2, plus John Leguizamo.
And Oliver Platt.
Yeah, and Oliver Platt.
Friend of the podcast.
I feel like he should be in a
he
Marvel
should be
movie.
In a Marvel movie. Yeah.
He's not really a friend of the podcast, but I'd like to think he is.
I would like him to be, though.
She was also on two episodes of Food Network Star, apparently.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool.
In 2007, in season 3.
Oh, nice.
2007? How long has that thing been going on?
I wonder if she
yeah,
was
I
a
didn't
contestant.
Know it was that long.
Oh.
Was it celebrity, like a celebrity edition, or she's just like a part-time chef?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Julie the Chef Gaffney.
Oh. Do you think they use that?
I think they.
For the next person we look up, I'll defer to Rick to look up the credits. I'm going to do some research on Food Network Star and see if she was a contestant.
Rick, we would like you to look up Henry's arch nemesis who played for the Mets, Hato, not Ogre. From,
not Ogre.
The guy who was not Ogre from Revenge of
Which
the Nerds.
It is really Ogre.
And I was also thinking, the guy who played Ogre was also, not related, but the guy who played Ogre was also Jean-Claude's friend there in Bloodsport.
Well,
but that's not this guy.
So this guy, who his name is Tom Milanovich. Tom Milanovich. Yes. He has only 15 or so credits to his acting career.
Okay.
And his last one was Hardball in 2001.
That's a baseball movie, too.
With Keanu Reeves.
So he likes baseball movies.
Well, he's dead.
That was a weird transition.
He doesn't like them anymore. He died in 2003. So he was also in Brother 2.
Brother 2 with Michael Rooker?
Nope. This is...
Brother 2
looks
with,
like,
I'll get there. Brother 2.
I don't think you're going to get there. Sergey Bodrov, Viktor Serekhtyev... Sergei Makovechev,
okay.
Irina Saltykova.
I give up. Yeah. Move on.
He was in Excessive Force.
Who was that? Like a Billy Blanks action movie?
That was Thomas Ian Griffin.
Oh, Thomas Ian Griffin.
James Earl Jones.
Really?
Lance Henriksen.
Okay, yeah.
Tony Todd.
Oh, the Candyman.
Burt Young.
Burt Young is Cousin Polly
yep.
from Rocky.
Yep. W. Earl Brown.
Oh, yeah. He's on Deadwood.
Your mind is so... There's so many wrong things. Groundhog Day. He was a state trooper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. I remember a state trooper. I've seen that movie so many times. It's weird.
He was the guard at jail in the movie Hero.
Oh, with Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. And Gina Davis.
And Gina Davis.
He was a guard on Family Matters.
Oh.
On Good Grief, a 1990 TV series, he was a bailiff.
That sounds familiar. I don't remember the plot of that TV show, but...
It was Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel sitcom.
Straight-laced Warren, his sister Debbie, her flamboyant husband Ernie, Howie Mandel, and their transvestite assistant Raul run a funeral home.
That's weird.
That show actually has a bunch of people.
Wow. But he was only in one episode.
Yeah, he was only in one episode.
Yeah.
He was man in bar in Above the Law.
Oh, it's Seagal.
Yep, that's pretty much
it. So he was in a movie with Seagal, and his lookalike, Ogre, was in a movie with Jean-Claude. So there
yes.
we go. His most famous role was Hado, pretty much. That was the pinnacle of his career.
Hado.
Yeah, that was it.
Say Hado.
Did you find anything, Brian?
So, she was a contestant on Food Network Star Season 3. In fact, she has a website that hasn't been updated since 2013, Colombe
Du
Jour, where she has some recipes on there, including the top one is homemade vanilla wafers, gluten-free.
Vanilla wafers.
Oh, gluten-free vanilla wafers.
That's fun. All right, well, I think that kind of wraps up this edition of Where, Oh, Where Have These Actors Gone? Gentlemen, any kind of final thoughts on Rookie of the Year, the rainy weather, vanilla wafers?
No, not really. Go watch the movie, especially now that it's baseball season.
In fact, we're recording this, and the All-Star game's on right now. Yeah, it's on tonight.
Oh, we're watching disc golf on YouTube.
Yeah, so maybe we'll flip over. You can see how dedicated we are. So on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye. Take me out to the ball game.
Tonight's guest conductor for Take Me Out to the Ball Game, actor Thomas Ian Nicholas.
All right, Cubs fans, let me hear you now. A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game.
It's time for the All-Star break, and I'm very excited to be playing with you. What's your name there from the Angels? What's your name say?
Yeah, I'm Mel.
Hey, Mel, I'm Rocky Chitstin.
Used to be Mel.
Oh, used to be Mel. Well, I'm sane Chet Stedman. I'm changing my nickname so the people know that I don't fly off the handle like a rocket anymore.
Speaking of fly, I'm an angel now. Oh, I have wings.
Oh, I'm talking to an angel. Oh, I thought that was just me.
Oh,
I thought I just had taken some drugs and was seeing some angels. But, Mel, do you think it's kind of weird that we have a few kids on our All-Star team? I mean...
Hey, you know, we're managed by a kid, so it doesn't make any difference.
Oh, we're managed by a kid. And
I'm Henry.
Hey, Henry. This is Henry. He's kind of like my son a little bit.
That's weird. The kids I know, I keep in the stands, and they wave their arms around.
That sounds good. Well, my kid, he used to have, like, this super arm that made weird noises, and then he tripped on a baseball, and now he's a 35-year-old man, so that's why he can be on the team.
Oh,
and
but I still talk like this.
I know, he still hasn't gone through puberty. And I like his boxer briefs.
Oh, this is our mascot. We're actually, our league is the National League Underwear Snitchers, and that's our mascot. Mm.
Mel, tell me more about your jock strap.
When can I pitch?
I told you, Henry, until we get your name right, you sit on that damn bench.
I want to play
sit over
the
there, Bungman Zoser. Now, someone.
I want my real dad.
Hungry. Your real dad was your mom. We learned this in the movie. Can someone tell me at a restaurant that serves some high stinky cheddar?
Foul ball!
Ow. Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini-episode of the $5 Bin Podcast, and join us next time for our next full movie reviews. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin P-O-D, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes in iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jeff Kimball and Jenny Weech for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby pitchers of lemonade. Mmm.